From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. African Americans often fall at the bottom of health outcomes in the United States, with disproportionately higher rates of cancer, heart disease, asthma, diabetes, and other diseases. The novel coronavirus has not spared this demographic either, with new statistics showing a shocking racial disparity in COVID-19-related mortality across racial groups. For example, in Louisiana, blacks represent 32% of the population, but comprise 70% of fatalities from COVID-19. In Chicago, Illinois, 68% of those dying from the disease are black, compared to their population share of only 30%. Joining me to help make sense of these numbers is Seft Hunter. He's the director of Black-led Organizing and Power Building at Community Change. Welcome to the program, Seft.
Thank you, Sonali.
So do you assume that the underlying health disparities pre-pandemic is likely what is leading to this incredibly disproportional racial bias, if you will, in COVID-19-related fatalities?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think part of what we're seeing with the COVID-19 related disparities, especially when looked at through a racial lens, in essence, what it confirms are a set of underlying issues that existed, that predated the novel coronavirus, right? So in part, there are public health experts have done, for example, analysis looking at life expectancy by zip code, which in essence were, prior to the coronavirus, was an indication of where folks lived who experienced the most significant economic and racial related issues. So for example, across communities in California, there are ranges that go from about 12 to 15 year differences in life expectancy when looked at through the lens of race, right? And that's similar across communities across the country. And in essence, those low life expectancy communities are also the same communities that tend to be mostly African American or Black, right? And then what we are seeing is that those same communities are the communities that are most likely to perish at disproportionate levels when we look at the folks who are dying prematurely due to COVID.
And I understand that some of these health disparities, racial disparities in health that pre-existed the virus, cut across class as well, that even when you account for class, and I'm reminded in particular of the words of Surgeon General Jerome Adams, who just a couple of days ago, in commenting on the statistics of the fatalities from COVID-19, said, "I represent that legacy of growing up poor and Black in America. I and many Black Americans are at higher risk for COVID." He said that he himself suffers from heart disease and, a number of other health conditions. He has high blood pressure, asthma, heart disease, and he's pre-diabetic. This is America's Surgeon General, a very, very important person in a very high position who suffers, and he's not that old, who suffers from these tremendous and debilitating pre-existing conditions, and has said that he is representative of this demographic at large. This is a problem that is bigger than COVID-19, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. So when we look at the racial differences as it relates to who's most likely to perish from other diseases such as HIV, stroke, diabetes, heart disease, African Americans and Black folks in this country are at elevated risk of not just facing these diseases, but also dying prematurely as a result of them. And when we look at when paired with the novel coronavirus, it does place folks at elevated risk, right? Oftentimes, these are the folks who have limited access to the kind of resources such as access to healthcare. These folks tend to have challenges accessing transportation, accessing healthy foods, tend to live in low-income communities with substandard housing, right? So where prescriptions, for example, such as like maintaining adequate social distancing, that's nearly impossible if you're in low-income communities that are dense and households that may have more, a high number of folks living in very small, tight spaces, that becomes nearly impossible. And we know that even when viewed through the lens of class, obviously you pointed out the, you know, the health profile of our, of the Surgeon General, but well, a white male of similar age, right, of similar social class would actually do better than he would, even the, even when you control for class, right? So, wow. So Dr. Powell in this case would, you know, when compared to a white male of similar age, similar income, would actually fare worse health-wise, mortality-wise than his white counterpart. So class is not, race is still powerful in explaining who's most likely to contract this disease and then who's most likely to perish prematurely.
I mentioned some statistics, such as in Chicago, Illinois, 68% of those dying from COVID-19 are Black. They're only 30% of the population. What are some of the other statistics that you've heard, whether there is at the city level or the state level? And do you get the sense that there is some geographic difference in terms of where Blacks are dying at higher rates, or might this be an indicator of a national trend?
I think it's probably the latter. I think what we're seeing is the reason why we've not seen similar demographics reported in other states and municipalities is because they're simply not collecting it in that way, or they're not yet reporting it in that way. And in some ways, I think what we may be seeing is that these numbers, when reporting becomes a lot more robust, is that the numbers will probably be far worse, right? These, the underlying issues that we talked about, the underlying health disparities, when paired with the novel coronavirus, does place African Americans at elevated risk for premature death. And it is, in fact, a reflection of the kind of deep structural and racial barriers that Black communities writ large face at much more elevated levels than their white counterpart. And I would say that as more municipalities and states begin to report, their corona deaths by race, I think we can expect that they will likely report similar numbers.
Other statistics were showing in Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, African Americans represent only 26% of the population, but almost half of those people infected and 81% of the people who have died in that one county. In Michigan, African Americans are only 14% of the population, but 33% of COVID-19 cases and 40% of all deaths. It seems that not only are infection rates disproportionately higher, but then fatality rates are disproportionately higher as well. So there's more Blacks getting infected compared to their share of the population, and more Blacks dying of those who've been infected, as well, which is just shocking.
Yeah, and I think we see similar patterns with other disease states. Take, for example, as we're having this conversation, I'm currently in Georgia, right? And here in Georgia, the African-American males, take prostate cancer, for example, they're at elevated risk of dying as a result of prostate cancer. We see significant issues when we look at infant mortality by race, right? And so when we look at like a broad range of disease states, African-Americans tend to lead, are at elevated risk of not just facing chronic diseases, but are more likely across the board to perish as a result of having those chronic diseases. And this as we point out, certainly the numbers are alarming, but they're not surprising, right? They're not surprising. It matters. Race has always mattered within the American experience, and it certainly matters now. And I do think in addition to requiring that other states and municipalities begin to both capture as well as report COVID deaths by race, we also need to see that the policy response matches the information that we are seeing, right? Oftentimes when we think about who are these folks whose lives are directly impacted and upended as a result of coming into contact with COVID, either directly or through within family units. These are folks who are bus drivers, they're folks who live in low-income housing, they're folks who work at the grocery store, they're healthcare workers. So these are folks who oftentimes are deemed as essential workers in our communities and in our states. but then also, you know, are more likely to be uninsured, are more likely to have to work, you know, sometimes 60 and 70 hours without having health insurance. So this has to be viewed as an indictment of the inadequacy of ensuring that that low-income people, Black people in this country, have access to the resources to not just be safe in the midst of this growing public health crisis, but to also protect themselves and their families as a result.
So do we know if African Americans are also disproportionately represented among those class of workers identified as essential workers during this quarantine?
Well, I think when we look at take folks who work in food production and delivery, right? So folks who work at your local grocery store, a large number of those folks, especially in the cities that we've just pointed out, tend to be low-income African-Americans, both Black and brown people, right? And by extension, because of the increased exposure, it does place them at elevated risk of coming into contact with the coronavirus and then coming down with COVID-19. That information we absolutely know, and that's been confirmed before this.
And there is also another aspect of this in terms of people keeping themselves safe that is only now making the headlines, and that is the issue of mask wearing and disproportionate racial profiling. There was a story in the Washington Post this week that showed the two Black men in Wood River, Illinois, who last month were in a Walmart shopping and were wearing surgical masks because they were trying to keep themselves safe. And a police officer, a white police officer, followed them around with his hand on his gun for no other reason than they were wearing masks. And there's now a lot of anecdotal evidence from African-Americans around the country saying, yes, the CDC is recommending we wear masks, but we also know that in times when we have, resorted to these sorts of precautions, we are racially profiled. There is a very, very deep fear among people wearing masks and drawing attention to themselves and being criminalized and seen as criminal simply for wearing masks. This is another one of these underlying pre-COVID issues that makes African Americans more vulnerable in this time, right?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And I mean, one can imagine that the two African-American males that you pointed out weren't the only individuals in that space wearing masks, right? I think the thing that was unique to them is the combination of mask and Black skin. And I think it's important that we point that out. We've seen similar incidences, for example, with folks either being shot in a Walmart that sells guns, right? Mm-hmm. When they go to buy weapons. In ways that is very, very similar to what you've just pointed out, in the sense that it matters that these folks are Black in these spaces. And I think the patterns of discrimination and racism that existed before this only become more pronounced in these moments, right? And I think we do have to worry about our safety as Black people, especially as Black males. We have to worry about our safety in these spaces and in these moments, because part of what we see sometimes is this issue paired with crisis and increased arousal and attention to this issue sometimes can cause people to act irrationally. And the patterns of systemic racism, the patterns of implicit bias and discrimination does get more pronounced when paired with the kind of anxiety and tension that exists around an issue such as the coronavirus.
What about access to equitable health care? We know, of course, this country has a very deep and sordid history of African Americans and our healthcare systems justified deep mistrust from the community toward our healthcare system. We know that previous studies have shown things like Black patients get less pain relief when they're in emergency rooms. Is there any evidence, as far as you can tell, although it's probably too early yet, that Blacks might be getting turned away for COVID tests or for treatment simply because of the color of their skin?
Yeah, and I think what, and that's a really fascinating question. I think what we also know is that when we look at who's the willingness of uninsured folks to access healthcare, we know that African Americans tend to be face higher rates of being uninsured, right? And in essence, many times these folks will wait till health issues become really compounded before they even seek medical attention, right? Because they do not, you know, one, without insurance, many of us can't really afford to pay the exorbitant out-of-pocket cost that comes with accessing emergency room services in this country. And so oftentimes we will wait till our health issues are highly compounded and elevated, which in part may also contribute to us perishing from the coronavirus. And so we know that access to healthcare, we know that the availability of healthcare is one of the issues that is contributing to the number of Black people who are perishing. Oftentimes we have compounding multiple chronic diseases such as heart disease and asthma. Then when paired with now a third and significant issue like the novel coronavirus, it does basically put us at an even increased risk of perishing as a result of not just the coronavirus, but the deep underlying health issues that for in many cases aren't really adequately controlled because we don't have access to healthcare and critical healthcare resources.
Now, with a Surgeon General such as Jerome Adams at the helm, you know, the highest ranked basically physician in the nation who has acknowledged this deep disparity in fatalities from COVID-19 where the African American community is concerned, what would you recommend that he do? Because it's not, you know, it's rare to have a person who gets it in that position, who personally gets it and who has openly acknowledged this deep disparity. If you had the ear of Dr. Adams, what would you tell him needs to be done right now? I mean, there's, of course, long-term issues that need to be addressed. But in the short term, what needs to be done to address this very serious disparity? I imagine that some community-specific policies need to, and outreach efforts are needed.
I do think it's important to acknowledge him kind of coming forward and sharing his personal health profile. And we also have to recognize that he's only a single voice at the table where the broad set of policies are being made. And while I think it's noteworthy that he's willing to share his personal experiences, I also think that he is a critical voice at that table in which he can also insist and call for a set of equitable policies to actually address the broader disparities that we see across the country, right? I think in part the response that we see both coming out of the White House as well as the response coming out of Congress must match the significant need that we see across the country. The disparities that we see in Black communities, Black people being at elevated risk of not just coming into contact with the novel coronavirus, but perishing as a result of it, that must also be impacted in the policies that we see. Specifically, we need to see access to healthcare. We need significant protections for Black and low-income residents that are deemed critical to the kind of general operation of our communities by way of folks who are in healthcare, by folks who are in transportation, folks who are in food distribution. But we also need to see the wages of those folks also tied with the risk that we're asking them.
Hazard pay, right?
We certainly
hazard
think that there's pay. Something deep. Hazard pay, access to healthcare. We think that it's certainly moral to ask a single mom to put in like 10, 15 hours a day at working at your local grocery store, but to do it without adequate pay, to do it with pay that is less than $25 an hour, to do it without access to healthcare, to basically provide some modicum of assurances that should she come down with a health issue, she can have the assurance that she's not going to die prematurely or not going to end up bankrupt as a result of it. And I do think those are just like the basic set of protections that must be in place to extend dignity and economic assurance to workers and to families.
Now, because of our racist criminal justice system, we also have a deeply disproportionate representation of African Americans among our incarcerated population. There's been calls from across, from advocates around the country demanding that jails and prisons be immediately emptied so that people aren't basically left there to, you know, in an incredibly dangerous situation. Is addressing the issue of prisons and people who are imprisoned and demanding their early release also something that can help address African-American mortality from COVID-19?
Yeah, I mean, I think we see similarly alarming levels of African-Americans who make up the kind of general population in jails and in prisons across the country. We also know that the healthcare infrastructure in jails aren't really adequate to generally manage the most common health issues that will pop up in those institutions, and then compounded now by the potential rapid outbreak that we're seeing in some jails across the country. I think it's time for many of those individuals who are incarcerated to be immediately released on humanitarian grounds, because we know that those institutions aren't equipped to manage the rapid kind of public health outbreaks in jails and other similar places in which we are detained.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Seft, for joining us today. Really appreciate your time and insight.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest has been Seft Hunter, Director of Black-led Organizing and Power Building at Community Change. We've been discussing why African Americans are dying at far higher rates from COVID-19 than other racial groups. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.